Hi, Julian. It's good to talk to you from London.
Hi, Rajat. Good to be with you.
We're talking to you Tuesday morning, early in the morning, your time. The US has already intervened in Venezuela. Donald Trump is now talking about military action in Iran in the wake of the protests. We don't know what's going to happen there at this moment. It's an unsettling start to the year. What is your view on what Donald Trump is trying to do?
I think he's just got excited about the use of military power. He was offended that Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela was clearly defying him and not doing what he wanted and putting out music videos. And this he saw clearly as a personal affront, and so gave the green light to this military operation that turned out to be wildly successful. Good box office, not a single U.S. fatality. They whipped Maduro and his wife out of the country, and he loved it. He clearly loved it. And this seemed to, you know, in his mind, overtake the glitter of a potential Nobel Peace Prize, which he was all about in 2025. This seemed to be a more sort of direct hit for him. And clearly, he felt, well, we could do this elsewhere. I can impose my will elsewhere. I think there is a bit more to that, that there is some thinking about, you know, the revival of this Monroe Doctrine, the idea that the U.S. is dominant in its hemisphere. So we're going to bring back the Monroe Doctrine, but better. Trump has called it the Donroe Doctrine.
So when you talk about the Monroe-Donroe Doctrine, what exactly does that mean?
Well, Donroe Doctrine is the Trump version of the Monroe Doctrine, which is about 200 years old. And at the time, 200 years ago, the U.S. was still anti-imperialist, anti-colonialist. And so it was the Monroe Doctrine. Originally, it was a warning to European states to stay out of the Americas and not try and seek to expand their empires there. It evolved later to be something more aggressive under Teddy Roosevelt, the president then in the early 20th century, which made it not only keep out Europe, but we, the U.S., have the right to intervene when it suits us, our national interests. So the Donroe Doctrine is really a harking back to that version of the Monroe Doctrine. Other countries have to stay out, but we have the right to intervene when we like. And it is the Monroe Doctrine on steroids, where it really means that Donald Trump can intervene where he wants, and he's threatened Colombia, he's threatened Cuba, he's threatened Mexico in the past. So I think it was the success of the Venezuela operation made him think about the utility of force and the desirability of the force. It gave him a little bump in the popularity polls. And so he's all about that now.
I really thought the one consistency about Donald Trump was that he was a bit of an isolationist, that America first meant America inward-looking. That seems to be no more.
Yes, he's wiped that away. I think there is one element of consistency. I don't think he has the stomach to put, you know, real old-style imperialism of putting boots on the ground. He said he wasn't afraid of putting boots on the ground in Venezuela. Well, we'll see. But I think he doesn't like sending American troops off and has a fear of entanglements. And no, of course, it's really bad box office. His supporters really don't like it. And so I think that if there's one consistency, it's that. Because even when he was withdrawing from Iraq and Syria and so on, he was still carrying out airstrikes when they didn't involve any risk of U.S. casualties.
So there's still a little bit of a red line there for the moment. But I'm wondering whether this is anything new, really, we're seeing from the U.S., because the U.S. has always been a bit interventionist. We look at the Iraq War, Libya, Afghanistan, South America.
Yeah, I think that is absolutely true. And the operation in Venezuela looked very much like George Bush the Elder's operation in Panama, which was exactly 36 years earlier, rendered Manuel Noriega on the same day of the year, 3rd of January in 1990. So that was a historical echo. And of course, they've intervened all over Latin America. They invaded Iraq and so on and so on. What is the difference? The difference is, in a way, those foreign interventions were sort of discrete acts of hypocrisy. On the whole, the US bought into the rule-based order, the international liberal order, and made exceptions to it and cheated when it suited US interests. But on the whole, bought in and tried to frame what they were doing in the terms of that rule-based order. They tried to get a UN resolution to go into Iraq and so on. But they realized that the rule-based order, the international liberal order, really suited America on the whole. And so most of the time, that was the order that, that worked, the function that applied. With Trump, he's got no time for any of that. He's sort of thrown it out rhetorically, practically. Before there were double standards, now there are no standards at all other than Mike makes right. And that is what is so alarming to so many other countries who really depended on the idea that there was this order for their own security. This is what's got them so worried.
So given that, do you think we are about to see a US president who is emboldened intervene on multiple fronts? I'm thinking Greenland. He's threatened to seize that country.
Yes, and he won't let it go. No one thinks it's a joke anymore, which was the initial reaction. And of course, there is nothing that Denmark or the EU can do about it. And it is really exposes the thinness of Trump's imperialism in that he's, says that it's about U.S. national security. But after the U.S. has actually been drawing down its military presence on Greenland over the decades, it used to have multiple, I think more than a dozen bases on Greenland. Now it has a single one. It hasn't invested in icebreakers the way that the Russians have. And they find themselves suddenly sort of behind in the Arctic race. But this has got nothing to do with controlling Greenland. They could put plenty more troops. They could open more bases there if that's what they're worried about. The only way that you could explain it and the only rationale for it is that Trump would like to see US get bigger. He wants to control more territory and plant his flag on it because we know it's going to be in essence, the Trump flag that he plants on Greenland. And so, it is Greenland more than anything else that shows the sort of pettiness and the narrowness of his vision. It would destroy NATO. It has no national security significance at all. There's a lot they could be doing for national security. It's really about he would like to see a bigger US on the map.
How profound would that moment be if the US took over Greenland, and do you think he's going to do it?
I think it would change history. It would destroy NATO. It's really hard to see how NATO goes on as a meaningful alliance after one country invades another, and the others are shown to be powerless to stop them. So if you basically end NATO, what does that do, for example, in Eastern Europe? How far does that embolden Putin in Ukraine and then beyond? So that would be a real turning point in history over something, so petty. Will he do it? I mean, it is so crazy. You've got to believe there are people around him saying, please don't do this. Even the yes men that he has collected around him in the second term in office.
What about this idea? You've mentioned the Don Rowe Doctrine, and a little bit of that is being the world's police officer. So when we look at Iran, for example, does he still perceive America as having a little bit of that role?
It is not consistent. Obviously, there is something about Iran that is important to him. Why is he seeking to protect protesters in Iran and nowhere else? There's a bit of history in that. Of course, Benjamin Netanyahu is constantly trying to get him involved, and he took part in airstrikes against Iranian nuclear facilities last year, and so feels, I think, he is sort of invested in the country and also believes that he can have an impact around the world and project his power across the world at relatively low cost. Because, again, the strikes last year on Iran were very successful. They didn't eliminate the nuclear program, as he claimed, but they were very successful and there were no losses on the U.S. side.
We'll be right back.